Heaven 1390 Charleston's choice for the best in 24-hour gospel music in between the hours of 6 and 7. We pause to talk to you, Heaven Talk, Heaven 1390. I tell you, this has been an exciting day on the day, a beautiful day outside. Compared to the weather that we had for the past few days, temperatures down in the 30s and the 40s, and today it was such a beautiful, warm day outside. Here it is, we're coming to a close of another year. This is the 30th day of December. One more day to go before we close out this particular year, and we'll say goodbye to 2004 and hopefully hello to 2005. Again, we're so grateful to God for his many, many blessings, and especially for how he's brought us and how he's taught us and how he's brought us to the place and time where we're at even on this particular day. Today is going to be, or this particular show is going to be a good show. It's going to be informative. We're going to talk about a lot of things as far as Bible prophecy and as far as things that is going on in the world, and particularly what went on this past weekend, especially on Sunday. And I truly got to send a shout out. Number one, I got to send that shout out to my program director, Pastor Evan, the Chef Wright. Thanks, Chef. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, too. Just want to say thank you to my supervisor and Ms. Tiaka Staffney, who worked so hard with this particular show. Kind of took some turns and some changes because we like to keep our ear to the ground to not only what's going on in the community, but what's going on worldwide that's affecting the body of Christ at large. So just got to send a shout out to Tiaka doing a fine job. There's some statistics I'm going to read to you, Charleston, before we get before we get started with our show, and it has a lot to do even with our show tonight. If you have today's paper of the Post and Courier, the front page said deaths could top 100,000. Officials organize global relief efforts as disease fears mount. And just to give you some, just to give you some numbers, 473 is the number of foreigners that died at Thailand's southern resorts alone. $18 million has been donated to the Red Cross by Americans by noon. This is as of Wednesday, which was yesterday. $18 million have been donated just from people coming into the Red Cross. 3,000 miles of coast hit by the tsunami. 3,000 miles. And can you imagine that? 3,000 miles total of all the regions that have been affected by this tidal wave. $250 million has been pledged by the international community, from all the communities all over the world that's coming together. Total of $250 million so far in pledges. $13.6 billion in damage is estimated by the world's biggest reinsurer. So I tell you, this is really something else. I'm only 30 years old, and I have never in my life seen anything like this. The footage that I've been watching for the past few days has been phenomenal. And believe it or not, Charleston, you know that these are the signs of the times. There are some scriptures, and there's even some biblical prophecy that forestated this years and years and years ago. And here it is. We're living right in the middle of it right now, which brings me to introduce the guest for Heaven Talk on tonight. He's is the pastor of the Church of God, PKG, and author of the book, The Prophesied in Time. And we're going to be getting into a lot of things this particular hour, so I'd like to introduce live to the Heaven 1390 listening audience, Pastor Ronald Wineland, live via the telephone. How you doing this afternoon, Pastor Wineland?
Doing very good, thanks.
It's good to have you with us on Heaven Talk live via the telephone.
I'm glad to be here.
And before we get started, just tell us, one, where you're calling from and what's the temperature like where you are.
Well, I'm calling from Toledo, Ohio, and I'm not sure what it is right now, probably pretty close to freezing, but we have probably about a foot of snow still on the ground out there, so it's been pretty chilly up this way,
yeah,
compared to what you have down there.
Oh, yes. I told you just before we got off the air what kind of temperatures we had on today. If we could have just seen an inch of snow here, we would have been very thankful. You are the author of the book. The name of the book is called The Prophesied in Time. And here it is this past weekend. Really, within the past few years, there have been a lot of things that has been pointing to a lot of things that have been prophesied through the Bible and through some scripture that even some of those in biblical times foresaw years and thousands of years ago. And here it is, a lot of things is coming to play even right now. This past weekend with this tsunami that affected a lot of countries right there in the Middle East, with what's going on right now and even with what you wrote in your book, how would you say that the signs of the time are really pointing really towards the end, more so than we've ever known?
Well, there are a lot of things that are covered in this book, and one of the primary things that I'm doing is telling people that over the next year, and this is, the book came out in June, started doing the radio interviews starting, I believe, late September, early October, telling people that over the following year that events are going to increase in magnitude. They're going to become stronger. There's more loss of life. There's going to be a mixture of natural calamities, disasters, as well as terrorism. And this is all a part of prophecy. But getting very, very specific in the book, telling about these things happening over the following year and then the 3 years that follow that, even far, far greater, and things that are going to happen right here in the United States.
Yes. Sam, as a result of what happened this weekend, how is the impact of this tidal wave and of this with the tsunami, how is the impact of tsunami on prophetic message?
Well, it's just one of numbers of occurrences that are going to take place. There have always been tsunamis, earthquakes, hurricanes, volcanoes, but we happen to live at a very specific time in history, of all human history, where, as you mentioned, prophets of old, different ones have talked about, this is that time we live in now where those events are going to escalate and they're going to become greater in magnitude and greater in frequency. We just happen to live at that time. And this is just one of many things that's going to begin starting. It's going to become far, far greater in magnitude, though.
Was this the energy that prompted you to write the book?
Well, the reason for writing the book was, again, by the inspiration of God, certain things in the book of Revelation that are coming to light more and more about where we are. God has to give those things by His Holy Spirit. He's done so, written the book to get very specific. The book is incredibly specific about certain events that are going to take place, and the desire is, I don't expect people to believe everything right now at all, or maybe not any of it. But if they will read it and keep it in their mind so that when these things do begin to come to pass, they'll understand that this is true and these things are happening, so that they will be able to begin to have answers as to why it's happening, what's going to happen next, how long is this going to happen, and what's behind it all. And that's what this book explains.
Okay. What are some of the specifics that you get into in the book?
Well, some of it talks about the demise of the United States. We are at a point in time, this nation is prophesied in the Bible, very powerfully so. So is Canada, Western Europe, Australia, New Zealand. Major nations in the Bible, major nations now, are prophesied in the Bible at what was going to happen at the end time. And some of those things that happened to us, we're not going to be the leading power after a while here. There is going to be a third world war. It's coming very quickly. But we'll not be in the picture of it as a whole during that last 3.5 years, what's called the Great Tribulation. And the book is very specific about some of those events. A third of our nation is going to be destroyed very early on. Within a period of approximately 6 months, two-thirds of our nation, people are going to die. It's not a pretty picture. It's not a pleasant message. But it is a reality of something that's going to happen. But there's going to be death and destruction all over this world. And we just happen to live at the end of 6,000 years. Technology has only come on the scene, very powerfully so, over the last 100 plus years, but primarily in the last 100 years.
Right.
It has been kept out of man's reach by God for a purpose. There's a reason why we didn't have electricity and different technology 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago, and that reason is once it began and once it was given to man to have, we misused everything we've ever been given. And the reality is, God has a plan of things working out to exactly 6,000 years, not 4,000, not 5,000. So he will withhold those things from mankind so that at the very end, we would come to a point in time that if he did not intervene, we would literally annihilate ourselves. And that's where we are in human history.
Wow.
We have the capacity, enough nuclear weapons to destroy this nation, this world, more than 40, 50 times over. It only takes once.
Right, right. And one push of a button.
Exactly.
One push. Let's begin to get into some scripture that you have researched, and let's begin to break some things down, if that's all right with you.
Okay.
And we can start from wherever it is that you want to start. But.
Oh, my, there is so much in the Bible. All the prophets. I mean, 20% of the Bible is prophecy directed toward the end time.
Yeah.
There, people don't realize, you know, we read stories in the Bible, it's exciting, different times that people lived. We live in the most awesome time of all human history. It is a time that points to a return of Jesus Christ. You know, people refer to Jesus as the Christ, and the word meaning Messiah as well. A lot of people don't understand what that means. It has to do with an anointing, and he's anointed to be a king. It's just starting in the story here. You know, in the very beginning, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, I think of when he came into Jerusalem there at the end. They were cutting down palm branches and singing Hosanna in the highest, and they were calling him a king. They honestly believed that he was coming to fulfill those Old Testament prophecies that talked about a Messiah that was coming to be their king, that was going to take them out from under the harshness of the Roman rule and restore Israel to power. Well, when he came into the city, matter of fact, that's what the Jews found in order to kill him. They had to have some grounds in order for him to be put to death. And so what they took to Pilate is that he claims to be a king. And so Pilate asked him, because then the Roman government had the right to put him to death. So when he came to Pilate, Pilate said, "Are you a king?" And he said, "That is the purpose I was born, but my kingdom is not of this time, not of this age." And most people don't understand that he is going to reign on the earth. I think of such plain scriptures. Let's notice Revelation, very powerful scriptures, and yet people tend to go right over them. It talks about a specific time, chapter 19, where it basically refers to the church about, in verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." And then it goes on to talk about this return of Jesus Christ to the earth. And it talks about, in verse 11, "I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was faithful and true. And in righteousness he does judge and make war." He's not coming back this time as a lamb. The first time he came as the Lamb of God, as our Passover, in order to fulfill that observance, yearly observance of Passover, to die for all the sins of mankind as a lamb.
Okay, you said you were in Revelation. Can you get the chapter again?
Revelation 19, in verse 11 right now, where it says, when he comes back, it says, "And in righteousness he does judge and make war." He's not coming back the next time as a lamb. He's coming back to take control, to take rule of the earth. Things that are going to happen in the Valley of Megiddo, it's called Armageddon. It's coming. There are events coming and taking place. It goes on to say, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written which no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." It's speaking about Jesus Christ. But notice, verse 14, it says, "And the armies," there's a reason why it's called armies, because there's going to be a war take place when he returns. He's going to destroy very powerfully certain nations gathered together in the valley of throughout that region of Megiddo, the region we call Iraq, all the way down to Israel today. And it says the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in linen clean and white. And it goes on to talk about here, verse 16, "He has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." He is coming back as a king. And over in chapter 20, it talks about those who come with him. At the end of verse 4, it says, "And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. It talks about a reign of how long it is. It gets very specific. So, again, there is coming a rule on this earth. God is going to, you know, God has given mankind 6,000 years to try every kind of religion, every kind of government, and to show mankind. He's basically left hands off, except for a few times of intervention, working with the children of Israel, coming out of Egypt, and so forth. But as a whole, and then Jesus Christ, when he came, and the church that began, But as a whole, God has left hands off of mankind for 6,000 years. He's getting ready to reveal himself more powerfully, awesomely powerfully, at the end of this period of time, because that's his plan and purpose for his kingdom, his government, to come to this earth. You know, people talk about going to heaven, and this is where I generally, some people get into some conflict.
And, a lot of conflict with that, right?
Yeah, but the next part we're going into, because a lot of people talk about going off to heaven, and I'm sorry, but in John 3:13, it gets very specific. Jesus Christ himself said, you know, the Messiah said, the Christ, he said that, notice that one, John 3:13. It's a, you know, people don't like some of the things that they read, and when they're pointed out to them, they say, well, no, that's not what that means, but this is what he said. He said, no man, this is after 4,000 years of man on the earth.
You said John, give that chapter again?
Yes, it's John chapter 3 and verse 13.
Okay.
And he made a statement here, very powerfully so, and this is after 4,000 years of human beings being on the earth. He said, and no man has ascended up into heaven, but he who came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven, speaking of Jesus Christ. So very clearly here, he is telling people that you don't go to heaven. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 3, he was talking about David and explaining some things about King David to the Jews that they didn't understand, because they had the belief, many of the Jews at that time had the belief that people went off to heaven. That's why Jesus Christ said what he said. No one has come down from heaven, and no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down, speaking of Jesus Christ. And Peter himself, on the day of Pentecost, told people, just like in Acts chapter 2 and verse 34.
Okay, let me find that real quick, okay?
Okay. Yeah, Acts chapter 2 and verse 34. And it says here very plainly, it says, he makes a statement here. He said, for David is not ascended to the heavens. He's making a point here that Jesus Christ is going into the heavens, but not even David, not even the patriarch David, who was called a man after God's own heart, one who is recognized as a prophet of God, because so many of the Psalms were written by, that are prophetic, are written by David. He was a prophet as well. And of all people, that's what the point was to the Jewish people, of all people, can't you understand that even David is still dead and in his sepulcher to this day? In other words, making it very clear that he was not resurrected. He was still there. And so a lot of times people have different ideas about what the Bible says, and a lot of people really don't understand some of the most basics. When we die, we just die, and we're put into the ground, just like the word hell. Throughout the Bible, a lot of people have different concepts of what hell is. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is Sheol.
Right.
In the New Testament, the Greek word is Hades.
Right.
They both mean the same thing, a hole in the ground. That's what happens to people, like all those mass graves over there right now. That's what they're doing with people. They're putting them in the ground. They're not going off to heaven. We don't go to heaven when we die. We wait for a resurrection. And yet at most funerals, when people die, they're preached up into heaven. Well, I'm sorry.
People would take issue with that.
Absolutely. People get upset with that. But that's what the Bible says. That's what God says.
Okay.
Jesus Christ said, no one's ever gone into heaven but he who came down from heaven. Peter said, even David is not, of all people. If people go to heaven when they die, then why isn't David up there? You know? And just like, you know, interesting, as we're talking about some of this, again, something a lot of people don't understand. Let's go back to Revelation 19. Where it talks about the return of Jesus Christ to this earth and reigning for 1,000 years on the earth. And it talks about here, people don't question this. It says, speaks about this time, verse 5, Revelation 20. It speaks of the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Well, there's going to be, who are the rest of the dead? Well, it's talking about 144,000 throughout the book of Revelation here, who come with Jesus Christ when he comes back, who are going to reign with him.
Okay, you said Revelation 20?
Yes, Revelation chapter 20.
Okay, verse 5, that's what you said?
That's where I'm starting, yes.
Okay. Okay.
It talks about those who were given authority and power before that. And then it says, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000... Who are the rest of the dead? Well, this is talking about, before this, those who reign with Christ. So who are the rest of the dead? Every human being who has ever lived and died. God's time for resurrecting them is not until the end of Jesus Christ having reigned on the earth for 1,000 years, and that's what this is talking about. So it says, the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. And then it says, this is the first resurrection, referring back to those who come with Jesus Christ.
Right.
Notice verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. People don't know what that means. And it even talks about a second death later in verse 14. Okay. What is a second death? The reality is that people don't understand that God's purpose is not that people go into heaven as soon as they die. They wait until they are resurrected back into a physical body again. The human body is capable of dying twice, having a second death, only because man can live twice. He can come back and live in a human body again in God's time, at the time of the resurrection. And so things like this upset people because they have different ideas and beliefs. And again, that's why this book is written, because this is sent from God, that these things are going to begin happening to this country. This country is coming to a demise. Europe is going to have the seventh revival of the Holy Roman Empire. There is going to be a World War III, and then Jesus Christ is going to intervene and stop it all.
Wow. This is really something. 6:27 is the Heaven Talk time. Pastor Vonnie Weiland, our special guest live via the telephone, sharing with us some facts that he wrote the book entitled The Sign of the End of the World. Let me make sure I have the name of that book correct.
Yeah, it's The Prophesied End Time. Yes. That's okay.
566-1390. You mind if we take on one call before we go to break?
Oh, you bet.
566-1390. We're going to go to the phone lines, if I can get this phone line to work correctly. For some reason, it's not working today. But I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. I'll find out what's going on.
Okay, you bet.
Pastor Weiland, again, our special guest. Phone lines are ringing off. Y'all give me just... Man, y'all pray for me. This phone line act like it don't want to work today. I'll be right back. Heaven Talk, Heaven 1390. Hold on 1 second, Pastor Wilder.
Oh, you bet.
71390.
Hello.
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 Yes, hello.
I can't hear. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
How you doing?
All right.
Okay, did you want to talk to Pastor Wilder?
Oh, yes.
Okay, are you still on, Pastor Wilder?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead, caller.
Yes, I'm not a pastor or a manager or nothing like that, but you know. I was just looking at some of the things you said and all that. I'm not against no one who write a book and not like that.
Okay.
But the Holy Bible, King James Version, should be the bestseller there ever been. The Holy Bible. The Bible tell you strictly what's going to happen. God's Word, you know, we got to look by God's Word, you know. God's Word is going to stand if everything else falls. Praise God, you know. But, you know, God bless all those who write in books. But that word, God's word, holy word, is the truth. And it's manifesting right now. And, like, you know, Lazarus was one who went to heaven. Lazarus, when the rich man didn't feed him, Lazarus died. And Lazarus went to heaven. And the rich man looked up to heaven and asked Lazarus to give him a, you know, something like that. But anyway, that was one that going to heaven, you know, when he died.
Let me
give him crumbs on his table. That was in the Bible.
That is. But let me let Pastor Weiland break that scripture down to you. Pastor Weiland, you want to actually break that down so she understands that scripture?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's... People have those interpretations because of what they think certain words mean.
Right.
And it isn't saying he went to heaven. It doesn't say that. You know, if you can find me the verse where it says Lazarus went to heaven, then we could talk about it. But again, there are different interpretations of things that are there, and a lot of it has to go back with what we learned as we were young people. We grow up, we learn different things from religion and so forth. And just like the words heaven and hell that I mentioned earlier, the word hell, a lot of people have this concept of some place that's where people go and are tormented. I think what a horrible thought, what a horrible thing to think that there would be a God that would send people to a place to be tormented for all eternity. I wouldn't want to serve a God like that. And, you know, it's too bad that people think that God is like that. He's not fiendish. He's not sick and perverted like that to do something like that. To when people die and they refuse God and refuse Jesus Christ as their Savior, their option is what's going to happen. There will be eternal death. That is the punishment for sin. It's eternal death, but it's death for all eternity, never to be resurrected from again. It doesn't mean that they're going to be eternally punished. The punishment is eternal because it means that it's it's never can be changed again. It's eternal punishment. It doesn't mean they're going to be punished eternally. So we read different things into Scripture and we get wrong concepts of God and what Jesus Christ and God the Father are like.
Did you get that, caller?
Thanks for your opinion. God bless you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
I knew this was going to spark up a lot of...
And
this is why, Pastor Wiley, I think you'll understand where I'm coming from. There are a lot of shows that I do, but then there are some that I really don't get into.
Sure.
Because of the mentality of some folks that actually are listening to the radio. They don't really search the Scriptures. I mean, really search and really research the Scriptures for what it really says. It's like they read it for face value and don't really understand fully what it is that the Word is saying. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I understand what you're saying, absolutely.
So that's sometimes that's actually what I'm dealing with here.
So it's a matter of trying to inform people so they do become better educated.
Right.
Yes,
and
that's
sometimes
great.
Sometimes when for so long and for a lot of folks when they haven't been and they just think that it's just, you know, it's just that one way, then... And the thing about it, they don't search the Scripture or search to see how it was written, why it was written, what words really represent it. Because some words, you know, is not synonymous. You know,
exactly.
In our former day, when it says heaven and when it says hell, when it says this or that, you know, when you really research what it's really saying, it's not really saying what a lot of us think that it's truly saying, if you understand.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
So, that's a lot of the problem that we actually run into. I think you'll understand even as you continue to speak on this particular subject. When we go back on the air, we're about to go back on the air. Would you want to begin to talk about everything that has happened since September 11th, back 2001?
Oh, that would be fine.
Where it's getting ready to take us?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that. You ready?
Sure.
71390 Charleston's Choice. For the best in 24-hour gospel music in between the hours of 6 and 7. We pause to talk to you, Heaven Talk, Heaven 1390. Very controversial show on this particular afternoon. Some things you may hear this particular afternoon, I must admit, may be a little hard to swallow, Charleston. Some things you may say, Thomas, woo! Email me, give me a call. Let me know how it is that you feel. Our special guest live via the telephone, Pastor Ronald Wineland. Author of the book entitled The Prophesied End Time, a very controversial book, a lot of scriptures, a lot of scripture background he actually goes into and pulls out a lot of things that a lot of us, let's just say, are not accustomed to looking at and may have looked at it a little bit differently. So we're just looking at things from a different perspective right here on Heaven Talk. And you know we can do that. Yes, we can, and we are doing it even right now. 6:34 is the Heaven Talk time. I lost a few callers because... You know, this phone line, I don't know what happened. It was just going a little crazy there for a second, but I think I got everything to where it should be, 566-1390. If you have a question for Pastor Wineland, you can give us a call. Pastor Wineland, it's been 3 years ago now, September the 11th, 2001, is something that will forever be remembered as what just happened even on this past weekend on Sunday. As a result of what happened on September 11th, what does the Scripture say about that, and where is that pointing us to even today, and where is it going to take?
Okay. Before we do that, I about forgot to mention here, we offer this book for free for anybody that wants it.
Oh, okay.
And they can actually go to our website if they'd like just to order it. There's just a tab there that says Order Free Book, and press onto that and fill out their name and address, and we'll send them the book. There's no follow-up or anything. It's just a free book. But the website is www.the-end.com, or it's a dash between the words the and end, but it's just the-end or the-end.com, and they can get it for free. Or they can go to their most recent Reader's Digest, which is the January issue. There's a full page ad in there for the book, and it gives the actual physical address they can write for a free book if they don't have a computer. So.
Okay.
But anyway, to answer your question, 9/11 on. Horrifying thing to happen. Someone asked me today on one of the interviews about 9/11, and someone actually out of New York and on the show there. And you know, I was sick that entire day. I just felt empty inside. I just felt I didn't feel like talking to anyone. It was just such a horrifying thing that it could happen. But It's a reality of a time we're getting ready to enter into, and somewhat symbolic, even prophetically, of what's going to happen to this nation. That which is our matter of our economy was struck. I mean, it was right there in Wall Street area. Two of the largest buildings in the world, they came down. There is a way of man that, sadly, has always been one of pride and haughtiness. And because of that, the whole history of 6,000 years of man has been that we don't listen to God. We want God to be like we want Him to be. If we don't agree with what God says, we go and form something that we can agree with. When the Catholic Church split off from the Church of God and began to do some of the things they did, and began, they didn't like the idea of keeping the Passover, and so they began to, in 325 A.D., in the Council of Nicene, they came together and they decided that they were going to begin observance of Easter instead of what God said man should keep, his Passover. And a lot of people don't realize that a lot of their beliefs come out of what started happening back in the Catholic Church at that time. And people get hopping mad about this, but it's just a matter of history, what happened. And that gave them reason then to begin even changing the Sabbath. They decided to change the seventh-day Sabbath then, because what they were saying was that since Easter is on Sunday, that now we can read the Scriptures in such a way to say that since what they believed, as Jesus Christ was resurrected on a Sunday morning, that now we should start keeping services, church, observance of God, our holy day then on Sunday. And the reality is that was a big mistake, because God gave man from the very beginning a 7-week or 7-day cycle. And I know this makes a lot of people upset, but the reality is he established the seventh day as a day of worship, as a day that he would teach people about him and about his way of life. But we have turned from that as a people, and we have kept times that we shouldn't keep, just like Easter. The only place in the Bible that's mentioned is in the Old King James, and it's a mistranslation. There's only one place the word is used in the book of Acts, and it's a mistranslation. It is the Greek word for Passover. And so those people who wrote the King James Version knew exactly what they were doing when they inserted the word Easter. They knew it wasn't Easter, but they felt like they had to do that. You know, a lot of people don't understand. Jesus Christ said the only proof that he was going to believe that he was the Messiah was that he would be in the heart of the earth the same amount of time that Jonah was in the heart, the belly of the great fish. In the Hebrew, it's 3 days and three nights. It's exactly 72 hours. It's not a minute more and it's not a minute less. And so people try to get, and I've heard ministers talk about this, how they try to get 3 days out of the end of Friday to Sunday morning.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry, but that frankly disproves that he was the Christ then. It doesn't prove that he was. They don't understand the Scriptures. They don't understand that he died late Wednesday, was in the heart of the earth all through till Thursday, Friday, and late Saturday, or the seventh day. He was resurrected right before sundown on that day. Well, people didn't come to the tomb at that time because it was becoming night. It was the end of the Sabbath. They came the following morning, and the angel said, he is already risen. It wasn't that he was resurrected that morning. A lot of people have the concept. They go out for Sunday morning sunrise services. I'm sorry, but he was resurrected well before that, way before that. Well, this is a message people don't like to hear, but that is a message that God is getting ready to correct on the earth.
Yeah. Actually, it is one of those things that people really don't like to hear. I must admit.
No, but getting back to the two towers, we were struck symbolically at those things that are going to come to pass, literally. That which we have raised up as far as our economy is concerned, our government, Washington, D.C., the Pentagon was struck. Those things are very symbolic of a nation.
Okay.
And we are prophesied in the Bible. We are prophesied to be the first to fall at the end time, at the last 3.5 years. There is a prophecy of Europe that's going to arise, a seventh resurrection, as I mentioned, of Europe coming together. So all these things are a part of a whole, and all the earthquakes, the hurricanes, the natural disasters along with terrorism that's going to start increasing now, especially in the United States, when those things begin, those things will lead to our demise. And it's not a nice, pretty picture. It's, people say it's doom and gloom. Well, it's just reality, because we have disobeyed God. We have not obeyed God, and so we're going to be humbled, and hopefully people will start repenting somewhere along the process, and that's what this book is about.
Yes. You know, a question just popped up in my head, and I'm looking at this piece of paper. About 2, maybe even 3 months ago, the state of Florida was affected by 3 major hurricanes. And I guess my question, along with that and what just happened on Sunday, there's been a lot of what we call natural disasters. I hear some people say Mother Nature is just, you know, doing her thing. Someone says Mother Earth is cleansing herself. Let's begin to talk about that and even what the scriptures say about that.
Well, scriptures primarily show, and especially in prophecy, that people don't want to believe God. So that's why it's going to start out the way that it does, especially in the book of Revelation. It starts out slowly, and then things start happening more frequently. They start happening with a greater magnitude. And it's just like the example that Jesus Christ gave. He said, speaking of the end time, it's like a woman in travail. It's like a woman in ready for birth.
Okay.
And when you start having those pains, the pains start increasing, and they start getting closer together. That's exactly what it's going to be like in the next several years here. These events, like what just happened over in Asia, they're going to begin becoming stronger, and they get closer together. And people will be very skeptical, and all kinds of people are going to start claiming certain things. But the reality is, only one is going to be proven true when it's all said and done, and what it leads to. And that's what God is getting ready to do. He's getting ready to reveal himself very powerfully to mankind.
Wow. This is really something. Pastor Weiland, we have to take another quick commercial break. But we're going to continue to talk to Pastor Weiland. If you have any questions, 566-1390, give us a call. Special guest, author of the book entitled The Prophesied End Time. And we're going to continue to give you more information. You want to obtain the book for free. So keep it locked right here. Heaven Talk, Heaven 1390. Hello, Pastor Weiland?
Yes.
I'm going to answer the phone, okay?
You bet.
Heaven 1390.
Hey, John, this is Tianca.
Hey, Miss Tianca, how you doing?
Good, awesome show. I'm enjoying it.
Isn't it awesome?
Oh, man, the information. Pastor Weiland?
Yes.
There?
Yes.
Hey, I just want to thank you for being available at the last minute. We had a guest that canceled out, and I got the email this morning, I believe. Well, I saw the email this morning, and Stephen was able to work something out, so I just want to thank you for this last
minute. Oh, you bet. Glad to be on.
The information is awesome. But I do have a question for you.
Sure.
Now, you mentioned about when you die, you're not in heaven.
Correct.
There's a scripture that talks about to be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. Could you explain that for me?
Are you talking about in Corinthians? What verses are you specifically referring to?
Okay, what verse?
Yes.
Okay, I don't have the scripture
handy. Okay, because generally Paul talks about a lot of those things. The Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians.
I can hardly hear. Okay, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yes, the Apostle Paul talks about some of those things, and if that's what you're referring to, and there is coming the time when we are no longer going to be in a physical body. And we look forward to that time when God is going to give us a spirit body. It's just not going to happen in the way that most people think that means we go off to heaven, but that's not what it says in context. Paul talks about there are things that are going to come when our bodies are going to be changed. Most people just don't know when that change takes place. It takes place, if you'll read what he says, especially 1 Corinthians 15, in different places like that, it talks about a resurrection. That's when the body is able to be changed. We're resurrected when we are able to become a part of God's family into a spirit body that will have eternal life and live for eternity.
Okay. Wow, that's different.
Thank you for that.
You bet.
And I will continue to listen. And I'll talk to you later, Thomas.
Okay, Miss Bianca, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. She's one of the producers of the show.
Oh, great.
So she just called in just to let us know that she's listening. We're not, Pastor, we're not on the air right now, but one question I wanted to ask you, what would you say about those that have had the experience of dying and saying that they went to heaven and for some reason came back to earth, and they went to hell and for some reason was sent back to earth and wrote about their experience. What would you say about that?
I would say that either the mind was not clear. I've known a lot of people who have had strokes and things haven't worked right in the brain. It's a physical organ, and if it doesn't function properly, the mind is able to think up things. The mind is able to experience things that don't really happen. I know of people, I know several people right now that they're getting to an age where they're starting to have many strokes, and they talk about things that don't even happen, and they see things that that aren't really there.
Okay.
So especially in that state, yes, people maybe have seen things. There's also another thing that happens at times that there are literally demons on the earth. There are those fallen angels that God left on the earth that play games with people and that work with the mind. They communicate things with the human mind to deceive, and a lot of it has been done in religion. Frankly, most things that have happened in religion have been because of what demons have done.
Wow. 'Cause, I mean, I even, one time I spoke with the guy that wrote a book about dying and going to hell. And, I mean, he made it look so real. And
sure.
I was like, my goodness. And I kept thinking to myself, and you live to talk about it? You know, I was like,
yeah.
You know? And so I was like, you know, not saying I was being a skeptic or anything like that, but I just had that same question. I was like,
yeah. Well, it's just not biblical. It's just not biblical. Is there such a place?
Interesting.
It really comes from some crazy ideas that passed down for several hundred years from Dante's Inferno, a book that was written a long time ago.
Yes, yes. And you know what? I need to read that book. I really do need to read that book.
But that's where traditional Christianity picked up a lot of their ideas about a hell then. It was from there. It wasn't out of the scriptures.
Okay. We're going to have about 9 minutes left in the program. Is there anything you'd like to focus in on within the next 9 minutes?
No, too bad there aren't some calls coming in. I'd be glad to answer some questions and stuff.
I could open up the phone lines even more. I can do that. I was having a problem with the phone line because this station, they have a very old phone system in here.
Uh-huh.
We have a new one that's in the next room, but they have to, we have a whole new system that they're going to hook up here.
Yeah.
And it's going to take, from my understanding, it's going to take about 2 days for them to do everything because there's a lot of wiring.
Yes, absolutely.
And that has to
well, if it works, fine. If it doesn't, that's fine, too. Or if you have some specific questions, whatever, that's fine. But just whatever, wherever direction it goes is fine with me.
Okay. Here we go. 71390 Charleston's Choice for the best in 24-hour gospel music. Between the hours of 6 and 7, we pause to talk to you. Heaven Talk, Heaven 1390, special guest live via the telephone, Pastor Ronald Wineland, who is the pastor of the Church of God, PKG, and also author of the book, The Prophesied End Time. We began to get into a lot of things, got a lot of calls in during break, a lot of questions about this and about that. And I tell you, Pastor Wineland really struck a chord with some things a few minutes ago. But that's the great thing about Heaven Talk is that we're able to talk about it and just have a good time. Anyone that has a question for Pastor Wineland for anything that you just may have heard for the past 50 minutes, the phone lines are open to you, 566-1390, and you can give us a call. Again, 566-1390, phone lines are open to you. If you have any questions, again, he wrote a book. The name of the book is called The Prophesied End Time. And you know, Pastor Wineland, anytime you begin to talk about the end time, I guess it tends to get controversial. Would you agree to that?
Oh, yes, it does, mainly because so many people through time have talked about the end time. And the reason being is because there's a lot in the Bible about the end time. So when calamities happen in the world, people think it's the end time. Every war that comes along, people think it's the end time. The Civil War, people thought it was the end time. World War I, World War II. So it's a normal thing for people to think that way as far as physical human beings is concerned. It's just that we finally have arrived to that time, and we're going to see some awesome things on the earth. We live at the most dramatic time of all human history. It's not going to be an enjoyable time here in the next few years, but what's behind it It's the word that's used in the scriptures and by so many people, the word gospel. It means good news. And there is good news, and it is about God's kingdom. It's about that very kingdom that Jesus Christ is going to bring to the earth when finally all nations, there will be no other governments of any nation on the earth except one, the God's government, God's kingdom reigning on the earth with Jesus Christ as the King of Kings. And there will only be one religion. Can you imagine when people start obeying certain laws, not bearing false witness, lying, you know? I think of that one. That doesn't give too much room for politics anymore. You think about marriage. If people would just learn to live and obey God, learn that happy life comes from working at relationships. You know, really all the law, it's an awesome thing when you think about it. The first four commandments, when you look at the Ten Commandments, are about a relationship with God. The last six are about a relationship with people. And so it's really about relationships. And that's really what makes us different, what makes us unique, is it's our relationships. But if we don't live them right, we suffer horribly. That's where the suffering and the pain and the misery that comes on this earth is from people not obeying basic laws. And if we would just obey those, this world would be so much better. Families would be so much better if a father and a mother worked at the love toward each other and gave and sacrificed as God says they should toward each other, and they would actually benefit from that. They would actually grow in their love toward each other. But today we live in such a world of lust that people, they don't find it at home. They go other places. They find it, it's a sick, sick world in that respect, just in that one commandment alone. People committing adultery, going out and cheating. So God is getting ready to correct all that and bring everything to where there's going to be a happiness, a new world, a fullness of life that can be lived, because God will no longer be obscure. People won't wonder if Hinduism or Buddhism or Islam or traditional Christianity or whatever is right. God is going to make it clear what is right. There will be one voice, one way of life, one word on the earth. Be an exciting time.
It will. It sure will be an exciting time. 566-1390, again, if you have a question for Pastor Weinland, give us a call. Anything that you've heard of, anything you may have just pondered in your heart and you want to ask in concern to what's going on, and especially what's going on even right now, give us a call, 566-1390. Phone lines are more than open to you on this Think About It Thursday, really giving you something to think about on this Thursday afternoon. Again, Pastor Ryan, we thank you so much just for taking time at the last minute just to be on the show, just to give us some things that Lord has even shared with you concerning what's going on. And again, we want to let the listeners know that everything that you wrote in your book has come from the inspiration that you've read from the scriptures. Am I correct?
That's correct. Absolutely.
Yes. We want to make that very clear, make that extremely clear. For someone that's listening and that would love to, they may be a little reluctant to call, but they would like to get your book again. Please give that information out so someone would
yes.
get your book for free.
Yes, they can go to a website if they have a computer and able to do that. They can go to a website to the-end.com, or it's the dash end. It's just a dash between the words the and end.
Okay.
The-end.com, and there is a tab there that says order free book, and you just fill out your name and address, and we'll be glad to send you a free book. Also, if they don't have a computer and they want to get the information, the easiest way really is to pick up a Reader's Digest, January issue of Reader's Digest at a grocery store or wherever. And I think it's page 165. There is an ad, full page ad in there about the book. And again, I give the address you can write into to request a free book as well. So either way, that's a free book. Or you can go to a bookstore and pay for it. But why do that?
Yeah, when you get it free.
Right.
Well, Pastor Weinland, we thank you so much for being our special guest live via the telephone.
Well, thank you, Thomas. Appreciate it.
Having talk. And you know what? I look forward into, we're going to see if we can set something up for the new year, okay?
Okay, very good.
Stay on the line real quick. Let me close the show out, okay?
Okay.
Charleston, thank you so much for spending time with us. May God continue to bless you and keep you is our prayer. Coming up next is the Prophetic Intercessory Prayer Ministry with Pastor Ken Law. Following that, the best in 24-hour gospel music right here on Heaven 1390. Join me again. Tomorrow is the last show of the year, and we're just going to dedicate it to you, and we're just going to talk about all the great things that happened this particular year, and we're just going to give God praise for just bringing us to where we are at this point in time. Remember, may God continue to bless you and keep you is our prayer. No matter what you're going through, that God is still faithful. God always gives us a little heaven on earth to go to heaven in. And if that's the case, heaven must be just like you. Pastor Wineland?
Yes.
Thank you. I think that was a great show.
I appreciate your approach. Sometimes with some of the religious programs, people are so set in certain things that they get upset, and I appreciate the way you handle it.
Well, one thing I've learned to do, number one, I have to be extremely open-minded because all of us are striving, in my opinion, for the same goal. And before I look at something and just read it at face value and say, no, it's not bad or whatever, I like to be very objective about it, and I like to search it out. And
oh, that's wise.
Give people a chance to actually, you know, say what it is that the scriptures are saying. My thing is this: if you're coming from whatever the word says, face value, whatever the word says, and you're not in the error, I don't have no problem at all with this show. But once you start getting out of what the word says, that's when I can't talk.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yes, sir. Well, I thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
It will not be the last time, and I'll get Ms. Tianca to set up another interview with you within the new year. Okay.
That's great. That's fine.
Thank you, and you have a prosperous weekend, okay?
You too, Thomas. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye.